Peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I truly want you all to stay awake, but this is not the theme for the message here this morning. We had to shift gears, and we come now to a very important subject, Advent Mysteries, Joseph. So I'd like to read the text from Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Of all the characters in the Christmas story, I can relate best to Joseph. But think about it for a moment. He's a person who doesn't get much mention. Not much space is given to Joseph. I had the little children up here for the 8 o'clock service, and I had a nativity scene. I purposely left Joseph out. I said to the kids, is there anybody missing in this scene? And one little boy said, Joseph! Boy, our Sunday school is working. I tell you, they know the answer. And so, Joseph, he could be written out of a Christmas play. Most people would not know he's missing. And in the biblical record, you might say that Joseph comes across as a nondescript person. Why, even his identity to his firstborn son is lost. Nowhere does it say that Joseph is the stepfather of Jesus. You have to kind of just piece that all together. Now, other boys are called after their father. So, for example, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. That's the way they were referred to. Peter, the son of Jonah. But nowhere does it say, and Jesus, the son of Joseph. Now we know, of course, Joseph had nothing to do with the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary. Every Sunday we confess he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. But Joseph had a lot to do in raising that child. He was a good dad. I want you to know that as soon as the boy Jesus was old enough, he brought him out into the carpenter's shop and taught him all the skills and trade of being a carpenter. In fact, when you read the Gospels, Jesus is called the carpenter. And when you hear that, you should know that he made tables and chairs and things like that. But more so, you should know that he is the one who built the most solid foundation and the most wonderful structure upon which our salvation is based. This structure that he built lasts for eternity. Praise God. Joseph was a great carpenter, but his son is called the carpenter. And let's remember that as we think about Jesus as well as Joseph. Well, now the Christmas story begins with the betrothal of Joseph and Mary. That engagement period was a time they didn't live together. It lasted for about a year, and they were so looking forward to being married and settling down and raising a family there in the little town of Nazareth. But then, all of a sudden, Joseph is shocked and devastated when he learns that Mary is pregnant, and he had nothing to do with it, and he knows it. Now he's got two options. He can go to court and make this a public scene as he seeks a divorce from Mary, and of course much condemnation would come down upon her. Or he can do this quietly. He can get a certificate of divorce, get two people to sign as witnesses, and give that to her, and everything would be solved quickly and quietly without hurting anybody. Joseph chose the latter option. He didn't want to bring any shame or hurt upon Mary. But you need to understand this, that in the first century, as well as in the centuries that followed, engagement was tantamount to marriage. It was a sacred vow and bond. Nothing was to break that engagement, and if it did, it was called a divorce, and that's what the scriptures say. Joseph was ready to divorce her. But it was so sacred that we know that he took this very seriously. Well, we learn from Joseph that he was a good man. He thought through things. He had convictions. He had been faithful. He was willing to forgive and forget and move on. He held no revenge. He wanted to be very compassionate toward Mary and not bring any undue harm in her direction. So we say that he is a kind and caring man, but there's something else you need to know about Joseph. He was a man who listened to the voice of God and responded, okay? So when he went to bed that night, he couldn't get to sleep. He was hurt and he was confused. Finally, he fell asleep, and God comes to him in a dream and says, Joseph, you're a special man and I have a special plan for you, and you are to marry Mary and make her your wife and take care of her. And you are to raise that son as if it were your very own. And Joseph, don't worry about giving a name to the baby, for I've already got a name for him. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, can you imagine for a moment someone having a dream and God speaking to them? What would they do? Joseph did not hesitate. He hears the voice of God. He's determined to do God's will. This is a man of faith. He's willing to participate in the mystery that he doesn't understand. And isn't this what real faith is all about? Trusting and believing in God and obeying him without understanding all the answers to all the questions. So, Joseph the next day gets up, prepares the donkey, and tells Mary, we've got to go to Bethlehem and take care of this matter of taxation. We can say that Joseph was a good man, a man of faith, trusting man. He had deep devotion to God, but also he was very compassionate and loving toward Mary. And so I want you to know Joseph as the unsung hero of Christmas. He's usually the forgotten man, and we pass over him, but all men and fathers and husbands can learn from Joseph to be the kind of man that he was. So, I wonder, get this slide moving. thinking. I wonder how many of us, put yourself in Joseph's shoes, how many of us would have responded that way? How many of us would have been willing to be part of a mystery even though we didn't know what was happening? How many of us would have been there saying, we'll go even though we don't know what the future holds, we'll go and follow what God wants us to do? I wonder. He really sets an example for us, Joseph. But have you ever wondered what was going on in Mary's family and in Joseph's family? How did they react to all the news that was happening and all the commotion? Well, I have a letter from Joseph that he wrote to his mother after the Christmas event. He wrote to her and wanted to explain things that he couldn't explain before they quickly set off on the trip to Bethlehem. So, bear in mind as I share this letter with you. Dear Mom, we're still in Bethlehem, Mary and I and the little Jesus. There were lots of things I couldn't tell you about last summer. You wouldn't have believed me then, but maybe I can tell you now. I hope you will understand. Mom, you saw Mary grow up in our little town of Nazareth, how our family and her family knew each other, and we got together sometimes for supper. But the hardest day of my life came when I was 20 and she was just 15 years old. The trouble started after we were betrothed and engaged to each other. That same spring, Mary had abruptly left to visit her cousin Elizabeth in Judea. She was gone for 3 whole months. After she got back, people started wondering out loud if she were pregnant. I confronted her about the gossip and I said, "Really, Mary? Are you going to have a baby?" Her clear brown eyes met mine. She nodded. I didn't know what to say. I finally said, "Whose is it? I know it's not mine. Whose is it?" Mary looked down. "Joseph," she said, "there's no way I can adequately explain this, but I want you to know that I've never cared for anyone else but you." And then she went home. The rest of the day, I stumbled through my chores. At first, I was angry and pounded my frustrations out on the doorframe that I was making. My thoughts whirled so fast I could hardly keep my mind on my work. At last I decided to end the betrothal contract with a quiet divorce. I loved her too much to make a public scene out of this. I went to bed early that night and tried to sleep, but Mary's words came to me over and over again. "I've never cared for anyone else but you. I've never cared for anyone else but you." Well, I don't know when I finally fell asleep, but Mom, I had a dream from God. An angel of the Lord came to me and his words kept pulsating through my mind so intensely I can remember them as if it were yesterday. "Joseph, son of David," he thundered, "do not fear to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I couldn't believe my ears, Mom. The mystery was beginning to unfold. The angel continued, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Then the prophecy of Isaiah became very clear. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Well, immediately I sat up straight in bed. God revealed the mystery to me. It was all coming together. No sleep after that. Then I got up and dressed quickly so I wouldn't wake you. I walked and walked under the moonless sky. Mom, I sang to the Lord. Yes, me singing, if you can imagine that. I couldn't contain my joy. I told him that I would take care of Mary and care for her. I told him I would watch over her and the child no matter what the other people were thinking. I got back from my walk just as the sun rose over the hilltops. I don't know if you still recall that morning, Mom, but you were surprised to see me up before breakfast. Remember that? I sat you at the kitchen table and said, Mom, I'm going to bring Mary home as my wife. Can you help me make a place for her? Well, you were silent for a long time. Then you said, Do you know what people are saying? Yes, Mom, I know. Your voice started to rise. If your father were still alive, he'd have some words, I tell you, disgracing the family and all. Then I told her all about what the angel of the Lord said to me, and now I knew for sure this was the right thing to do. You agreed, and the fire in your eyes was gone. I quickly went over to Mary's house, and her mom answered the door and just glared at me. Loudly, harshly, she called into the house, It's Joseph! Almost spitting out my name as she said it. My little Mary came out cringing as if she expected me to give her a good scolding, a good tongue lashing. Her eyes were red and puffy. I can just imagine what her parents had said to her. We walked a few steps from the house. She looked so young and afraid. I said to her, Pack your things, Mary. I'm taking you home to be my wife. Joseph. She hugged me as tight as she could. I told her what I'd been planning. We'll go to Rabbi Ben Ezer's house this week and have him perform the ceremony. I know it was all of a sudden, Mom, but figured the sooner we got married, the better it would be for her, for the baby, and for me. I said to Mary, No matter what anyone else says, I'm proud you're going to be my wife. I'm going to take good care of you. I promised God I would do that. Mary looked up at me. I said, I had a dream last night, and an angel of the Lord told me what happened and what I should do. The anguish on Mary's face vanished. She was radiant as she went back to the house to tell her mom. Her mom became very giddy with emotion as she ran to find her husband. We're going to have a wedding. We're going to have a wedding. That's how it was, Mom. Thanks for being there for us. Truly, you have been the best mother-in-law Mary could ever have. I'll write soon again. Love, Joseph. Okay, well, can you tell the love that Joseph had for Mary? It was deep and abiding. And of course, it says in the scriptures, he did not know her in a physical way until after the baby Jesus was born. But then the scriptures are quite clear that she and Joseph had many other children, and their life together was a good one, a happy one. Can you also tell something about Joseph's commitment, his strength, his love for his own mother and for Mary's family? Joseph, the nondescript character of Christmas. Joseph, the unsung hero of Christmas, comes across as a good man with deep convictions, faithful and true, listening to God, willing to do God's will. He takes Mary, he knows it's the right thing to do, even though at first he was perplexed by the pregnancy. Yet God explained that all to him. And let's listen once again to the unveiling of that mystery. The virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Well, that was the mystery that Joseph was confronted with. God unwrapped the mystery for him, and he went with it all the way. I'm telling you, even though he had nothing to do with the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary, he was right there with her and being a good husband and father. And yes, shortly after Herod sent his soldiers into Bethlehem, the angel told Joseph, take the family and go to Egypt and stay there until you are notified otherwise. So he was a leader. He took his family and went, and they then came back and lived in Nazareth. But Joseph is quite an example for all of us. And today, as you leave on this, the first Sunday in Advent, I say to all of you, make sure you've unwrapped that mystery and you know it full well in your heart, namely, the incarnation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. True God became true man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us so that we poor sinners might have hope, we might have a future, we might have joy and a destiny, all because He came to this earth. We are heirs of heaven. Praise God for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. We rise.